You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts tonight, chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And if you don't have a Bible, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. All right. Now, let me say this about those Bibles. If you don't have a Bible here with you, then let that be the rec room's gift to you. We'll just give you that Bible. Feel free to keep it. Now, if you have a Bible and just didn't bring it and you're not going to keep it, then tonight, when the program is over, if you will put it on that table at the back of the room, we'd appreciate it. Don't leave it in the chairs, because somebody will have to come and get it, make extra trip, do extra work when you just take it. It's not that heavy, and you just take it as you go out and set it on that table back there. Is that a deal? All right, that's good. Acts chapter 24. Let me give you a little background about where we are, because we'd have to read a lot of verses to kind of bring us up to where we are. But Paul is in jail in Caesarea. Now, the way he got there is he was in Jerusalem, and the Jews thought he took a Gentile into the temple, which he didn't, but they thought he did, and they jerked him out of there and were going to kill him. And the Roman soldiers were sent to save Paul from them. And they didn't know what he did, but they were the ones that were going to carry out any penalties. They were in charge, not the Jews. So they brought Paul back, and while he was in custody there at Jerusalem, the Jews put out a hit team on Paul, and they were going to kill him. Paul's nephew happened to overhear this. He carried the message to Paul. Paul sent him to one of the officers, and Paul, being a Roman, they were going to pay attention to him. If he'd just been a Jew, they wouldn't have paid attention to him, but being a Roman Jew, and so the officer that they sent the young man to said, "Come tell me what you got, son," and he told him what was getting ready to happen. And that very night, the officer got men and soldiers and took Paul to Caesarea for his own protection. And so he's down in Caesarea in prison. While he was there, a fellow by the name of Felix, who was the governor of the area, and was a sorry one, he's a typical politician, corrupt. Felix, his term was filled with all kind of problems. In fact, he would have probably been indicted and really been punished on some things, except his brother Pallas, who was friends with Nero, got Nero to kind of quieten things down, and Felix never did get really paid for his deeds. But Felix knew a little bit about the Jews, because he was married to a Jewish lady. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa, who was the king. And Felix was one of those guys that just manipulated himself around into the right place at the right time. And he wanted to hear Paul. He'd heard about Paul. And Paul was kind of a mystery to most people, because he'd really been a big shot in the Jewish religion. And when he became a Christian, when he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, the bottom fell out for Paul. The people that he thought loved him began to hate him. They tried to kill him. He went through more things for Jesus than than any man on this earth, I guess. He did as much suffering or more than Job, except for the fact Paul didn't have any children to bury it, to lose, and Job did, and that's about the only difference. They both had a lot of physical problems, had a lot of financial problems, had a lot of social problems. They had problems constantly. But anyway, Felix wants to come, and this is where we're going to pick up the story. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, and we're going to read two verses, and I'm going to point out some things. Since you've got the background, you'll be a little bit more familiar with it now. And the verse 24 said, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning his faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. In essence, he said to Paul, don't call me, I'll call you. Now, I want you to notice why he came in the first place. He said that he came to hear Paul concerning his faith in Christ. And that's what Paul told him. Paul didn't plead to him to get him out of prison, didn't ask for some kind of pardon, didn't ask for release, didn't ask for more commissary. He just had 3 points. Righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. This is what he preached to Felix. Here's a prisoner telling the governor what he needs to do. Righteousness. The reason he spoke about righteousness, because Felix had none. Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. Hold your finger here for a moment and go with me to the book of Isaiah, if you would, back over in the Old Testament. It's a long book. You'll find it pretty easy. It's Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. But go to Isaiah chapter 64, right at the end of the book, and look at verse 6, Isaiah 64, 6. And here's what Isaiah said. He said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural, all of them, put them all in a bag, add them all up together, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're all very good at admitting to not being perfect. You ever notice that? Well, everybody will tell you they're not perfect. Nobody wants to admit to being filthy. We don't admit to that much. And he said, all the righteousness we got, you add them all up together. And you total them up. And they are as a filthy rag. That's it. We don't have any righteousness. The only righteousness that you and I can have, go to the right from Acts, if you would, a little bit, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here's what it said. For he hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ traded places with us. God made him to be sin for us that we might get his righteousness. That's all we've got. That's what Paul is telling Felix, the governor. You have no righteousness, but you can have it in Jesus Christ, and that's the only place you can have it. You can't have it in church. You can't have it in baptism. You can't have it in communion. You can't have it in good works. You can only have it in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't make any difference what sign's over the door of the church. Only in Christ. Second thing, temperance. Now, we don't hear that word much anymore. Used to. People heard it all the time because they had temperance was fighting alcohol back during the days of prohibition. But really, the word temperance, if you look it up, means restraint. Stop it. Quit it. You remember when the Pharisees brought the woman taken in adultery to Jesus? Jesus was teaching one morning to the people in here that they just burst in, rude as they can be, and they said, look, we got this woman here, and we caught her in the very act of adultery. And Moses says she needs to die. What do you say, Jesus? And what they were trying to do is confuse Jesus, pit him against Moses. They were always trying to trip him up some way. And Jesus just knelt down, and I'd do that, but I couldn't get up. But he knelt down and started writing on the ground. Theologians have discussed for years what he wrote on the ground. I really think he's just taking names. But he acted like he didn't even hear him. And they came at him again. We caught this woman in the very act. You know, and this is kind of interesting. They just bought one woman. Now, if they caught her in the act, who's missing? Yeah. Takes two to tango, people. Yeah. They forgot that, didn't they? And Jesus comes up and said, he that is without sin among you, cast the first stone. You want to kill her? Cast the first stone. And the Bible said that they left one by one the old ones first. See, the bad thing about us old people, we got more sin than young people because we've had longer to do it. And then Jesus turned to her and he said, where are thine accusers? She said, no man accused me, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. And then this is what he told her. Go and sin no more. He didn't say go and get treatment. He didn't say go and taper off. He said go and sin no more. That's temperance. Stop it. One of the fruits of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, controlling yourself. Well, I just couldn't help myself. Well, you could have if it had been an officer of the law standing there. It's just amazing. I went to school with a kid. That said the reason he didn't care a knife, he was just too hot-headed. I noticed he was only hot-headed around people smaller than him. He never got hot-headed around bigger folks. Hey. Temperance. Restraint. You can stop it. We can do that. And then the third thing, his third point was judgment to come. And everybody knows that judgment is coming. Even the atheist knows that judgment is coming. Do you know atheists like laws too? And if somebody steals from them, they expect them to be punished? Yes. Oh, yeah. Somebody does something to them, where's the law? All of a sudden, they want to be righteous. We're all pretty selfish in that. But he said judgment is coming. There's no exceptions. In the book of Hebrews, it said, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're all headed that direction. You can't go back and find folks that are going to live forever. There's been one, you know, statistics are still the same. There's one death for every birth. Now, some people live a long time, and some people don't live very long. I lost a very close friend when he was 19 years old. And I lost a little brother when he was 21. I lost a son when he was 23. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Everybody faces the judgment. And death It's not the end. Look back at verse 15 in Acts 24 here. He said, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Everybody is going to have their day in court. There will be a judgment of the just. There'll be a judgment of the unjust. But there will be a judgment. Now notice through this, and Paul, very simply, three things: righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. And Paul, Felix did not disagree with him. Felix did not ignore him. Felix did not brush him off, didn't demote him, and didn't mock him. You know what he did? He just put off his decision. Notice what he said. He said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I have no doubt that he meant it. I believe Felix meant that with all his heart. Let me tell you something. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Everybody one day is going to straighten up. Everybody one day is going to do what's right. Everybody, hopefully in the near future, is gonna. We Americans are the world's worst about gonna do something. We're going to learn the computer. We're going to lose weight. We're going to get an exercise program. We're going to. And the worst of all is that we're going to get right with God someday. We tell ourselves we have plenty of time. Satan will tell you that. Satan will say everything's right. He will agree with everything. You just don't have to do it today. See, you got plenty of time. How do you know that? Nobody's guaranteed us any time. I remember when one of the great healing evangelists said God only guaranteed him 8 years to live. Pastor I had at that time said he really hated that God did that because he didn't guarantee him that. He wanted to know why he petted that guy instead of him. He said he hadn't guaranteed me any time to live. We don't know. It's going to come up. Satan's greatest ploy is not now, not tonight, not today, later. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want you to think with me just a little bit. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around, you've been putting it off, some of you. You're here tonight, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have no righteousness because you haven't accepted Christ's righteousness. You had no temperance, and you're not ready for judgment to come. And you say, "Leland, that's my position. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved. Would you just ease your hand up and slip it back down real quickly?" You see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, yours, sir. I see yours. You can slip them back down. Put it up. Anyone else? Real quickly. We're going to pray just in a moment. Maybe you're God's child, but nobody could tell it. There's not enough evidence to indict you of being God's child. And you need to quit living the way you are and start living for Him. And you know that. And you're going to do that someday. Would you do it tonight? If that's your position, would you just lift up your hand saying, "Please pray for me. I see your hand. God bless you." And you're, yes, see those hands. And here's what I want you to do. If you're not God's child, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection to take you to heaven, I'm not talking about church membership, not talking about baptism, not talking about communion, not talking about anything, but simply trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, in a moment, on the very first verse that Charles starts singing, of just as I am without one plea, I want you to come. And somebody will be here to tell you exactly how to get to heaven, show you in the Bible how you can leave here tonight knowing that you're on the road to heaven. And then for those of you that you've been playing games with God, you know it, I want you to quit putting it off. I want you to come tonight and say, I'm tired of this life. I want you to stand your feet, head still bowed. Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of each one here tonight. We pray that your will be done in the next few minutes. That not one person would put this off. Whatever they need to do, and they know, and you know, whatever they need to do, Father, will they do it tonight? Not some later date, not that they're going to, because we don't know if we'll make a later date or not. But we're here tonight, and we can do it tonight. Pray that they will do it, Father, in Christ's name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Brother Charles, let's sing. Come on the very first verse. Just as I am, come on. Go ahead and take these words. Come on. Let's go, come on. Right now, come on. What's God have you to do? Come on. Come on. And I'm going to ask Brother Charles to sing one more verse. And we'll be through. Have you done what God wanted you to do? Or are you telling yourself one more time, I'm going to do it, but not tonight? Do you have any reason that will hold water with God for not doing it tonight? Now, if you do, that's okay. But if you don't, you need to come. As Brother Charles sings, this is the last verse. Come right now. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that came tonight. Father, we thank you for those that said yes to you. And Father, we pray that those that didn't will have another opportunity. We know they may not, but give them another chance. Now, Father, with those that came, thank you that they were obedient to you. Bless them. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you for those who's here. In Christ's name. If you need it in the literature out on the table, be sure and pick it up. Refreshment bar's open. Thank you for being here. If you need some things, holler at us.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.